Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappy Brothers. And we're broadcasting this week from the Be Careful What You Tell My Brother department here at Car Talk Plaza.
Well, I guess you could say that. Well, we've kind of reversed roles a little bit this week.
Yeah, well, we had to.
We did, yeah.
Yeah.
Because usually this is where you speak, but I'm gonna speak.
Yeah, you had a story.
I have a story.
Yeah.
The Saturday after Thanksgiving, I had the good fortune to go to my high school reunion, my 40th high school reunion, in fact. And I ran into a lot of old friends. And one I ran into was this fellow named Paul Fario, who I haven't seen in a long time. But we were pretty close in high school. We were standing there with a bunch of other friends, and he kind of chided me for having told the story about what he did when he was in high school.
Is he the guy that the house burned down or something?
No. That's another friend. I haven't told that story yet. That's Isaac. We'll tell it. You know, Paul's parents were born in Portugal and had never been back. And when Paul was like 18, they decided that he was old enough and responsible enough to stay home and care for himself in the house. And they went off to Portugal for a week or two, and they left their car at Logan Airport. Uh-huh. Well, Paul figured it's senseless to leave the car there for a week or two without being driven. And since he had his own key that they didn't know about, he decided that he was going to go there and take the car and drive it around. And before they returned, he'd return the car and they'd never know the difference. Even if he parked in a different spot, it would be, they'd figure it out. They'd find the car.
Yeah.
And, of course, as luck would have it, the first day out, he wraps the car around a tree. And then he has to stand in the parking spot when they come out with their suitcases and say, "Surprise!" So he just reminds me how I had embarrassed him because some of his co-workers listened to Car Talk.
And yeah, that. Yeah.
And then he went on to say, "Well, it's a good thing you didn't tell the story about the explosion." And I started to laugh. And, oh, of course, yeah. That would have been really embarrassing because I didn't know anything about this explosion thing. But I pretended that I did. And I sat there and listened along with everyone else. Well, he told the story.
And now you're going to tell everybody.
Yeah, I have to. Sorry, Paul. I guess it was around that same period of time, but I think Paul might have had his own car at this point. And it was always the case, the gas gauge was on E, and two or three guys were driving around. Paul was the driver, and they were lamenting the fact that they weren't going to pick up any chicks because you can't pick anyone up if you have no gas. And one of them said, "Wait a minute, my father has a car in the garage. And he never uses it, but I'm sure there's gas in the tank. We can siphon out some gas, and he'll never know because he never uses the car." So they go to the garage, and they get a vessel prepared, a gas can, and they shove a hose down into the filler neck. And I guess they knew the principle involved, but I don't think one of them was really willing to suck on the end of that hose hard enough to get that gas flowing. Yeah. And finally, after a few minutes of failure, one of the guys said, "Hey, wait a minute. We need a device that can create some suction." And the guy whose house it was runs into the house and brings out his mother's Electrolux vacuum cleaner. And they decide that they're going to use the vacuum.
Oh, no.
So they hook the thing up somehow. And Paul said, "On some level, we knew that this had the potential to be dangerous because we blocked our ears." Anyway, one of the guys plugs the thing in and he said, in a nanosecond, there was this tremendous explosion. Boom! And out of the back of the vacuum cleaner comes flying this whirring, charred mass, which is the motor. And it just kind of sits there on the floor, kind of jittering and spinning, and it's all charred and black. And they looked at each other and said, "Guess that wasn't a good idea." But good thing is they lived to tell about it.
I hope others know that when you put gasoline through a vacuum cleaner, it's very bad. Because your vacuum cleaner is electrical.
Well, I guess most people don't realize that, when the vapors are going through, when anything goes through a vacuum cleaner, it goes through the motor where there's electricity, and electricity and gas vapors.
They're not a good idea.
They make explosions. That's what makes your car run, by the way, in case you didn't know it. Sorry, Paul, I had to tell it. It was too good a story. And Isaac's story we'll tell safe for another day.
All right. Thank you for that. If you want to talk to us about your car or your vacuum cleaner, give us a call at 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
My name is Tyrone, and I'm calling from Southampton, New York.
Hi, Tyrone.
Tyrone.
Southampton. I've been to South. That's rather tony there, isn't it?
Oh, well, it depends on what side of the road you're on.
Well, every side of the road I looked at looked pretty good to me. Anyway, what's up, Tyrone?
Well, I've got an 84 Mercedes 190. Really old, really zippy car. Until one day, and I don't know whether it's coincidence or what's going on, but one day I took the battery out to use it in another car briefly. And I put the battery back in, but unfortunately I put
it in
the
backwards.
Post. I crossed the post.
Yeah.
I heard the spark went off and the pop went off.
You don't know Paul Farrier, do you? I'm sorry.
And I obviously I immediately knew, and I turned the battery around, I hooked it up right. But ever since that day, when I go to start it, it's the longest, sluggish start, especially the first start of the day. It'll take like 2 minutes of turning over before it'll finally put its way into starting. And then I can't move it. I can't think about hitting the gas pedal for about 15 minutes. It has to warm up.
So let me get this right. You put the battery in backwards.
Yes.
And it worked to start the other car, I mean, whatever you were doing with it. So the battery is satisfactory.
The battery was good, yes. And when I went to put it back in the Mercedes, I crossed terminals.
But you didn't try to start the Mercedes.
No. After the bang and I backed up and switched, turned the battery back around, everything, it will just keep turning over and won't catch for about a minute and a half.
Uh-huh. Hmm.
And I was wondering if it was a coincidence or if I burned something out.
Well, this car has a carburetor, has a mechanical fuel pump, I believe, and you couldn't have hurt either one of those things.
No.
And you wouldn't have hurt the starter motor, I don't think. Here's what I think you may have done. Maybe it's not turning over as fast as it used to.
Okay.
And maybe it's turning backwards.
No. When you put it in reverse, does it go forward? No, maybe you fried one of the ground wires so that, in fact, the starter motor is trying to turn the engine over, but it's you're not getting the same flow of current that you would. Here's what I would try.
Okay.
Try, you have jumper cables?
Sure.
Run a jumper, take one of the black handles, or either red or black, doesn't make any difference. Take one of the grips on the jumper.
Okay.
Connect it to the negative terminal.
Okay.
And then connect the other one right to the block.
Okay.
So you're going to create your own ground.
You're going to bypass whatever ground that you may have fried.
Oh, I got you.
I'll bet it cranks like crazy when you do that.
All right.
Alternatively, you could have damaged the battery somehow when you did this, and so what you should do is try another battery in there if this doesn't work.
I've actually done that already.
Oh, you have?
Yes.
And it doesn't make a difference.
Exactly.
Yeah, well, try this, and if this doesn't work, call back.
I will.
Yeah, try it right now, and...
Yeah, you got an hour? Call us back.
You got a whole hour. So call us back and let us know what happened, and we'll think about it again.
I'll try it right now.
See you, Tyrone.
Thank you very much,
Talk guys. To you soon.
I love your show. Thank you. God bless.
Bye-bye. 888.
What else could it be?
I don't know, but I hope he doesn't call back, because I don't know what else it could be. 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Susan from the Inland Empire in Southern California.
The Inland Empire?
What does that
right,
mean?
Road rage capital of the USA.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. This is the Riverside San Bernardino area.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah. Smog.
And that's
capital.
Known as the road rage capital of the world?
I read that recently. Yeah, we've got that.
Have you seen incidents of road rage?
I've caused incidents of road rage.
Oh, really?
Yes,
that's good.
Probably one of the causes.
Yeah. Really?
Yes.
But you haven't actually engaged in the reciprocation.
No, I'm passive road rage.
Yeah,
yeah. Well, you might be interested. I personally am going to sue the state police of Massachusetts.
Is that right?
Yeah, because they are responsible for road rage. And I'm going to have to sue the entire state police force. And you might want to do that in Riverside.
Sure.
Well, because people are out there violating the law every day, and the police hide. They hide. They could give out 10,000 tickets a day if they wanted to.
Well, do you realize how dangerous it is being a policeman? I give these guys a break.
Well, I mean, why don't they shape up and do their work?
Well,
And they're busy watching empty holes here in Massachusetts.
Well, you got a lot of them.
They guard empty holes.
Why do we have the same last name? Is there a way to, can we do something about this?
We don't have to have the same last name. I mean, people who are married don't have the same last name. Why should we? You can change your name to anything you want. I don't care.
I am. From now on, I'm going to come up with a new last name for myself because I can't have the same last name.
I'm going to spell it so that in case they stop, they'll know. And by the way, if you stop my brother, he's not responsible. My brother's name is Tom. All right, Susan.
Okay.
Now that we got that taken care of.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I got carried away there.
Yes, and I have a very complex problem.
Oh.
My problem has ethical, social, aesthetic, and olfactory dimensions.
Olfactory.
Wait a minute.
Even olfactory.
Ethical.
Yes.
Moral.
Social.
Social.
Aesthetic.
Aesthetic.
Yes.
And
olfactory.
And olfactory.
Yes. Okay.
Excellent.
Here's my problem.
Yeah.
What car should I buy, given that I lead a double life?
Ooh,
we're interested.
Does it involve clothing?
It does, actually, but only in a minor way.
Oh.
Okay, here's my problem. I rescue farm animals. I rescue pot-bellied pigs in particular.
Yeah.
And that's half of what I do. The other half is I'm the...
You're a go-go dancer.
Yeah. So I, having risen to my level of incompetence, I am the chair of the philosophy department at a nearby, not to be named, college. And
I got it, man. This is great.
Now you got to picture this.
I got it.
So I currently drive a 1987 Honda Civic Pigmobile.
Yeah.
It's the Pigmobile because when I rescue these animals, I just toss them right in the back of the station wagon.
Yep, sure.
Goats, pigs, whatever.
Right.
And
and then you go to class.
Well, this leads to the olfactory dimension of the problem. So at the same time, because I'm the chair of the department, I sometimes have to drive around people, you know, visiting philosophers, people who might want jobs, the dean, whatever.
Just tell me, are the other people in the philosophy department aware of your second life?
Oh, yes, and they won't ride with me. No, they no longer, you know, if I say, let's go out to lunch, they always say,
we'll
take our car.
Right.
So my problem is I need a vehicle,
but
the ethical dimension is I don't want to get some big gas-guzzling thing.
Sure.
And you know, I would rather have a zero emissions little car, you know, from a ethical point of view.
Yeah. Right.
What I'd really need is something big enough that maybe I could haul a trailer so I don't have to throw these animals right in the car with me.
What I was going to suggest.
Yeah.
Because, but, I mean, there would be ways to insulate you from the back of the car.
Right.
But a trailer would be really the best way.
Yeah. Well, but then there's the aesthetic dimension of the problem.
Yeah.
I don't want a truck. I don't think that's my image.
How about a little pickup truck?
Yeah, you don't want a pickup truck?
Oh, they're so cute with a little cap on the back.
See, I had a pickup once, and I just didn't feel it didn't satisfy the, you know, the midlife crisis and aesthetic dimensions of the problem.
But now you've entered into a more practical point in your life.
Yeah, and now you're the chair of the department, so you're in better shape now to express
your
real desires.
Yeah, I mean, you can't go have faculty meetings smelling like pigs.
That's right. Well, it's been done.
Well, I mean, if you don't want a trailer, the trailer would be the cheapest way because you got the car already. Maybe you don't because...
You think this thing is so underpowered anyway, it won't pull.
Well, I mean, how big are the pigs?
Well, they vary.
Are they 600-pound pigs?
No. I'm usually rescuing the little pot-belly kind. When they get, you know, people get them when they're little, and then when they get to be about 150 pounds and they're, you know, rooting up the carpet, people want to get rid of them, and then you know, I take them.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's no different than having your mother-in-law in the back seat.
Well, I'm not even going to go there.
And I shouldn't have gone there.
No, you shouldn't have.
No, my mother-in-law is very nice, and she's very patient, actually.
Uh-huh.
I brought home a wild pig once in the back of the car, and she didn't even comment on that.
No, you need a pickup truck. First of all, for health reasons, too. So you need to separate.
Wait a minute.
You need to have a vehicle whose bed you can wash out. I mean, that's...
So you
can take the pickup truck and take your garden hose out and wash out whatever they leave behind.
But the real question is, how intertwined are these double lives, these two lives that you lead? Because, I mean, are you like Batman?
Yes.
So when the thing appears on the clouds, you have to just jump
jump out of a chairs meeting and drive.
And drive to save
shelter.
To save a pig.
You know what you need?
Pick up a pig, you bet. Yeah,
a jumpsuit.
Well, I have to have clothes.
You got to get in your jumpsuit.
That's right.
You tackle the pig.
That's it.
Throw them in the back of the pickup truck.
That's yeah. it.
Slam the tailgate.
Right.
Take your jumpsuit off. Throw right. it in there with the pig.
Yeah.
Yep.
It doesn't have to be a jumpsuit. I mean, it could have a cape.
Right.
A cape.
A mask.
Yeah.
So, but that means that you do need the pickup because you don't want to be dragging the trailer around all the time when
well,
you don't need
right.
it.
That's
I thought
right.
if the two lives were really separate, you know, like
not.
On Thursday afternoons you go rescue a pig, and on Wednesday morning you're a chair of the philosophy department.
No, when those pigs come a calling, man, you
that's
can't
right,
you can't
right.
put them off.
Gotta be ready. You know, I got a cell phone and a pager. You know,
until the pigs call you.
Yeah, that's right. Right. No, see, there's half of the world that around here that knows me as Pig Woman.
Pig Woman.
Yeah, Pig Woman. And then the other, you know, the other part.
I would try to quash that one.
Well, it's a good thing you don't teach in the language department. You'd be accused of teaching pig Latin.
Yeah, okay. I think it's a pickup truck.
Okay. I got it.
See you, Susan.
Okay, thanks.
Bye-bye.
All
right, look, it's time to take a short break. And when we come back, what's on the agenda, Thomas?
I would guess it's probably retractions or apologies.
Oh, you're playing the percentages, huh?
Yeah.
No, when we come back, we'll have the answer to last week's puzzler.
Oh.
Which is from my road trip series.
Yes, it was.
And we'll have the question and the answer, and we'll take more of your calls, too, in just a minute. So stay tuned.
And even though the NPR staff electrician quintuples the voltage in our seat warmers whenever he hears us say it, this is NPR. Hey, if you'd like to hear more car talk.
Yeah, like if you're a prison warden and need to send inmates running back to their cells.
You can download hundreds of classic car talk shows.
And by classic, we mean
old. Previously aired.
Exactly.
<you know.
laughs> Just go to cartalk.com and click where it says listen to the show. Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and the answer to last week's puzzler.
From your road trip series.
Exactly. And it was sent in by a fellow named Sam Gerace, I think, and here it is. Last summer, with gasoline prices at about the highest level in history, my wife and I decided it was the perfect time for a family cross-country road trip. With three kids in tow, we knew that games and diversions would be essential in heading off the homicidal tendencies that would inevitably bubble up, if you know what I mean. So at first we tried to find like a license plate from every state. So we made a list of all the states, and the co-pilot, whoever that was, would cross off each state as we saw its plate.
Uh-huh.
Well, after about 1,500 miles of that, we got tired of it, so we moved on to quizzing each other on our knowledge of state names. For example, my wife asked how many states begin with the letter V, and the kids came up with Vermont and Virginia, just like that. I asked which state had the most letters in it, and the kids figured out that North Carolina and South Carolina both have 13 letters. That's the most, I guess. Now, my wife came up with the next question. She said, name the states that have only four letters in their names. Well, kid number one, the oldest, said Iowa. Right, we all agreed. And then from kid number two, we heard Utah. Right again.
Uh-huh.
Then kid number three, the youngest one, the five-year-old sitting in the way back, the one we forgot about. We expected to hear Ohio, but she named a state that took all of us by surprise. At first, we all kind of jumped in it and said, no, that's not right. But then we realized that she was right. The question is, what state did she name? Well, she named any one of the following states: Alabama, Alaska, Hawaii, Indiana, Kansas, Mississippi, or Tennessee. You say, wait a minute, but all of them have four letters in their names, like Mississippi, right? He has M, I, S, and P.
Over and over.
Over and over. Let's use them over and over again. So the little one was right. Anyway, do we have a winner?
Yes, we do. Our winner this week is Brett Miller from Oshkosh, Wisconsin. And for having his answer selected at random from all the correct answers that we got, Brett's going to get a $26 gift certificate to the Shameless Commerce Division, with which he can get a brand new Don't Drive Like My Brother t-shirt.
Well, that's great, but what if Brett doesn't have a brother?
Oh, what if his brother doesn't drive?
Well, what if his brother drives well? I don't think we've thought this through.
No.
Okay, look, forget it, Brett. There's nothing for you at the Shameless Commerce Division. Just tear up the gift certificate when you get it. I don't know what we were thinking of.
Yeah.
Stay tuned for another Cards Puzzler coming up later in the show. And in the meantime, you can call us with your car questions. We're at 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Travis from Lebanon, Virginia.
Travis, what's going on?
Well, I have a 93 Saturn. I have 188,000 miles on it.
Good for you.
Yeah, thanks. And the problem is when I start my car, I hear a high-pitched squeaking noise, and it sounds like like that. And then when I get going about 10 miles an hour or so, it stops.
Okay, and so this noise you get before you've even started to move, just when the engine is running.
Right, that's correct, yeah.
That's good.
Yeah, I thought it was one of these belts, you know, that's there's a belt going around the alternator.
Yeah, that's a good guess.
There's one long belt.
Right, and I replaced that sucker, but that wasn't it. It doesn't work still.
Oh, so you replaced it yourself.
No, I had it replaced.
Had it replaced.
Right.
Huh. Have you ever... I mean, how long will it last if you just start up the engine and don't go anywhere?
Forever, maybe. I'm sitting in my car right now, actually. Would you like me to start it up for you?
Go ahead.
Okay, I'm starting the car now.
Go.
Oh, no.
The dead battery.
The noise.
Oh, it's running?
Yeah, it's running, but it didn't make the noise. Hold on. Oh, wouldn't you know it, do you?
Well, it's all fixed.
When did you replace the belt?
A few weeks ago.
It fixed it.
I don't think so.
No, huh?
No.
Yeah, no, but it made the noise before you got the belt.
Yeah, it always makes the noise. When I hang up the phone, it'll make the noise.
All right, hang up. Well, there are two possibilities.
Okay.
One thing that could be wrong is this has an automatic tensioner that keeps the belt taut. And
all
if
right.
the tensioner is no good, the sound you're getting is a slipping sound of a loose belt.
Okay.
Except that there's no way to adjust it on this car. It's done automatically by this spring-loaded tensioner.
The tensioner does it itself.
Uh-huh.
So the tensioner could be bad. That's one possibility.
All right.
The other part, what did I say? There were two?
There were two.
Two.
What was the other one?
The other one was the compressor.
No, there certainly could be something wrong with one of the accessories that's driven by the, but that would have reared its ugly head by now. The other possibility is that the harmonic balancer is bad, and the harmonic balancer is the piece of the crankshaft pulley that the belt goes around.
Okay.
So I would take it back to this guy and complain. I mean, when you took it to him, were you the one who said, I want the belt changed, or did he, having heard the noise, recommend a belt replacement?
It was kind of a group decision. We both hovered over the car and said, yeah, I think it's that belt.
So he heard the noise.
Right, he did hear the noise.
And you haven't gone back to complain?
No.
Yeah, now when you go back, it's not going to make the noise.
And it's going to be, right. He's going to say, well, you told me to change the belt. You should always just wait for him to make the suggestion.
That's true.
See, if you participate in the decision-making process, you're done for.
Yeah. See, if he says, that's the belt, I'll change it.
And
the noise continues, then you're just an innocent bystander. You say, whatever you did, it didn't work.
Right. Fix it again for free.
Fix it again for free. You're a quick learner, aren't you?
Yeah. This has been my brother's guiding philosophy for his whole life.
Yeah. Play Mickey the Dunce.
But since you were involved in the diagnostic and the decision process.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, you're going to have to assume at least half of the responsibility here.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
So he's not going to do anything for free. And if you ask him, at this point, I would just ask him to figure out what it is. If he's at a loss, suggest the tensioner.
Okay, the tensioner.
Yeah, and if he doesn't think that that's it, you might want to suggest he look at the harmonic balancer.
Harmonic balancer.
See you, Travis.
Okay, thanks a lot.
All right. Good luck.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
Hey, do you know what time it is?
Time to open the Car Talk Honolulu office.
Yes. And time to play Stomp the Chumps. This is the part of the show where we dig up a caller from a previous show to see if we should laugh or cry or...
Deny.
No.
So who's our lucky player?
It's the lovely and talented Chelsea from Oakland, California. Remember Chelsea?
No, but I'm sure you'll remind me. Go ahead.
Well, Chelsea called us several months back about her dream vehicle, a 1949 Chevy truck.
Mm.
Remember her?
No.
It wasn't running well, so she swapped out the carburetor by herself. We were quite impressed about this, and everything was hunky-dory at first.
And it ran like a dream. I couldn't believe I'd actually done it right.
For how long?
About a week.
It's not bad.
I was pretty happy.
How much was the carburetor?
$250.
About $150.
Those carburetors used to cost $9.
Well, that was 1949.
And for another $11, they gave you the whole truck.
A loaf of bread was only 7 cents then.
I got it from the original owner, and he even after I'd paid for it, he couldn't let go of the truck.
Was he hanging on to the bumper as you drove away?
Yeah, he was crying. It was the saddest thing.
Oh. Was he the original owner?
That's what I believe,
Bought it new in 1949?
That's what I think.
And he had the thing for 50 years almost.
Yeah.
No kidding.
So,
boy, his butt must be killing him. So, we're really in the spot here. I mean, if we can't correctly diagnose a 49 car, how's anyone supposed to trust us with a 2003 Audi, for example?
Yeah, I mean, this could be the end of our careers right here. If we get the answer wrong, we might have to resign on the spot.
I can see the whole staff in the control room nodding their heads. Yeah, okay. So what did we tell her anyway? What's wrong with the truck?
We told her that she got a bad carburetor. Even though it had been rebuilt, we said it must have been rebuilt incorrectly, and we told her to bring it back and get a new one.
Oh, yeah, okay. Sounds like I'm sticking with that. Well, let's see if we stay on the air or if NPR puts on that mid-season replacement. Cat box talk. Chelsea, are you there?
I'm here.
Look, before we find out how we did, we need you to confirm that we have not spoken since your last appearance on Car Talk. Is that true?
That is true.
And is it true that the answer you're about to give here on Stump the Chumps has not been influenced by our staff, the staff of NPR, or by that old geezer hanging onto the bumper of your truck?
That is true.
So anyway, was it a bad carburetor?
You were correct.
Oh, yippee!
We live for another week.
Your jobs are safe.
So you went back and they gave you another one.
I got a replacement. Well, here's the thing. It did the same thing. So I have to confess to some dark moments when I doubted you.
Oh.
But I then took it with the replacement carburetor in it to a mechanic who works on old cars.
Yep.
And by the way, I told him my whole history of the problem, and he said, oh, yeah, you're the one I heard on Car Talk.
Oh, really?
And he did tell me I had a bad rebuild.
Oh. But it runs well now.
Oh, it runs great.
Is the old geezer still stuck to the bumper?
Yeah, but I bring him food and water every now and then.
How's the truck running in general? I mean, is everything just dandy?
Oh, everything's great. I'm getting these big biceps just from driving it.
You know? That's when a truck was a truck.
Yeah, no kidding.
The steering wheel's 5 feet in diameter. It's like a ship's wheel.
Yeah, exactly.
And you need a big steering wheel to give you the mechanical advantage. Otherwise, you'd never be able to turn a corner.
Exactly. You should see my biceps. I'm not kidding. I'm going to start making money in bars arm wrestling.
Well, I'm glad to see that your upper body strength is improving because of this truck.
Yeah, my general health is vastly improved.
Yeah, that's good.
This is going to do a job on your spine, though. Do you notice how badly it takes the bumps?
Yeah, and the turns.
Yeah. You could fall out of one of those side doors going around a sharp curve.
Yeah, I take them pretty slow.
Hey, Chelsea, thanks for calling originally. And it's a pleasure talking to you.
Yeah, thanks for your help. I'm so happy to have my truck working again.
We are too.
Good.
See you later. Bye-bye.
Bye.
If you hear someone you'd like us to bring back for Stump the Chumps, email us your suggestions from cartalk.com.
Or if you can't wait, you can call right now and stump us. The number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. A lawyer on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Samantha, and I'm calling from Juneau, Alaska.
Samantha.
What's going on in Juneau today?
debate that I need you to help me settle with my husband.
Yeah.
Actually, and it's that where you should hang your dry cleaning in your car.
Which one of you lured the other one up there?
Actually, it's kind of weird because we met here, but we actually both are originally from Massachusetts.
Really?
Which one of you was running from the law? And
as
why Juno?
I mean, neither of us.
Yeah. I mean, it could have been Honolulu, right?
Yeah, that, at this point with the weather today, I kind of wish it was, but
so okay, so where do you hang your dry cleaning?
You hang it
you have a blind spot. And I think you should hang it behind your passenger seat so that you don't block your blind spot when you're changing lanes.
The passenger seat? No, behind the driver's seat.
That's where I would put mine if I had any dry cleaning, but the wardrobe I have that barely requires cleaning. I have a wear and throw.
I mean, how you can't even see out the window that's right behind you.
But don't you turn around when you're changing lanes, like to go into the left lane to pass?
What, your neck turns around 180 degrees?
Were you Charlie McCarthy?
You can't see out of that back window. Is that the window that your husband says you put?
He thinks that you should put it behind the driver's seat, but...
Well, of course he's right.
Oh, damn. What's riding on this? Come on. If you want to pay us off, we can change our answer. We can bought easily.
Oh, dear.
Well, see, we may misunderstand something. You think you should put it in the back seat behind the passenger seat. Now, isn't that so obviously blocking your view out that window? I mean, you can turn your head only 90 degrees and see right out that window at somebody coming up on your right. But you're hard-pressed to look out the window that's right behind you on the left.
Isn't that
true?
Wait a minute. What kind of a car is this?
It's a Subaru Legacy.
It's just a car.
It's a station wagon.
See, I mean, I hate... Especially considering the consequences of this whole discussion here, to agree with my brother, because who knows what it'll be like when I go home, but I think that I would want to put the stuff and block that window. I mean, it's quite to be quite honest, the place I'd rather put the stuff is to lie it down in the back.
Mm.
Yeah, I mean that would be a compromise, but it wouldn't be dealing with the issue.
Yeah, I mean that's just avoiding the issue.
Yeah.
And That's probably the safest thing to do in a lot of cases when you disagree with your wife.
So to put it just in the back seat?
No, to hide. Make believe you didn't hear her, or just do what she says and forget about it.
But you know, when I change lanes, it's always more difficult to go from whatever lane I'm in to the right lane.
Yeah.
Because for whatever reason, you're farther away from the traffic. And it's harder to change because the blind spot seems to be a little bit more difficult to figure out there.
Huh.
And in fact, I think we have a thing on our website which explains how to adjust your mirrors so that you don't have a blind spot. Imagine if you didn't, if you were driving a panel truck, you know, where you just had
no windows,
a windshield.
Oh, yeah,
and
you didn't have any.
And a window on each of the front doors and no other windows, including the back.
Yeah.
You'd have to rely solely on
the mirrors.
The mirrors. And I think more people ought to learn how to drive with just the mirrors.
Really? See, I got in trouble when I took my driving test for using my mirrors too much.
Well, I mean, I think what you should do is hang some dry cleaning in this place behind you and go off for a drive and see if, in fact, the stuff that's hanging there ever impedes your vision. And I'll bet you never look out that window. I'll bet you can't even turn your neck that far.
Wow, so you're agreeing with my husband.
Oh, 100%,
Sam. Don't sound so downtrodden.
I was really hoping to, you know, prove my point, but, that's all right. Thanks a lot, anyway.
No, thanks a lot.
Boy.
No, you're sorry you called us, now, aren't you?
No, I'm not.
See you, Samantha.
Thanks,
bye-bye. All right, I think it's time for us to take a little break, don't you?
Hey, will I have enough time during the break to go out and spend the Christmas bonus that NPR gave me?
Oh, yeah, I know you will. And I tell you what, while you're going out, take my bonus, too. Then you can feed both of our meters.
All right, we'll be back with a brand new puzzler. Hey, what's the nature of the puzzler this week?
You know, I would have to say it's high fashion.
Get out.
Kind of.
Wow, okay. Well, we'll take more of your calls in a minute, so please stay tuned.
Now, no offense to Rudolph, Dondo. the Blitzen, you know, and all the rest of those reindeer cats. But you know there ain't no way that reindeer can pass no driver test. I do believe that Santa's sleigh got a big black Chevrolet.
And even though Carl Castle jabs his Weekend Edition Sunday lapel pin into his click and clack effigies whenever he hears us say it, this is NPR. Ha! We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and of course the new Puzzler.
Yes.
Which I said...
High fashion.
Well, kind of.
Does it have to do with coveralls?
Well...
No.
Maybe. And actually, this was sent in almost 6 years ago by someone, Patrick Mooney. And of course, took me 6 years to mess around and sufficiently obfuscate it to get it to the point where it was usable.
Usable, yeah, sure.
You know, so here it is.
You
ready?
You wouldn't want anyone to get the right answer.
Of course not. Somewhere around 1912 or 13 or so, aviation began to really catch on in Europe. It didn't catch on earlier because, we're no planes.
Yep.
But it was fortunate that it did catch on when it did because they were going to need all those planes and pilots for World War I.
Yeah.
Lucky them, huh?
Yeah.
Anyway, now the legend goes that it was around that time that the soon-to-be famous pilot, Friedrich Schwingenrudder, started wearing a very long silk scarf that the lovely Fräulein Blücher had made for him. Now, Friedrich had long been known for his foppish flying duds and was a popular figure at the local Gasthaus, you know.
Yeah.
But as stylish as it was, that long scarf was not worn for fashion reasons.
Oh.
So the question is, why did Friedrich wear that scarf and why was it so long?
Wow.
Yeah, pretty good. High fashion, huh?
High fashion.
Now, if you think you know the answer, write it on the back of a Mel Brooks deluxe DVD boxed set, including Blazing Saddles, Young Frankenstein, and, of course, a life-size color poster of Frau Blücher. Send it to Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our fair city.
Matt 02238.
Or you can email us your answer from cartalk.com.
But right now, if you have a car question for us, we're at 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello, guys. This is Jim Schrack in South Bend, Indiana.
What's happening, man?
I have a problem with a 1996 Dodge Grand Caravan.
Okay.
Had a local mechanic, kind of a one-man operation, do some major engine work. And I went to pick the vehicle up just before I went on a long trip, paid the guy, left, and then found out that the dipstick was stuck.
Was stuck in the dipstick tube?
In the dipstick tube.
But, and how'd you find that out?
Well, he tried to get it out.
I was going to check the oil, of course, in the process of everything, and found out that I could have used a hydraulic lift and it wouldn't have come out.
And you say this happened when?
You know, actually, I checked it before I left town, so it would have been just, maybe a couple hours after I'd left the shop.
Oh, so the first time you tried to remove the dipstick, you couldn't get it out.
Right, right.
Okay. But you were already on your trip.
Actually, I wasn't, but I didn't have a choice. I had to go the next day, and he knew I was leaving on this trip, too.
Yeah.
But the question is, will I be able to get anybody to change my oil anymore? That's going to be one question, and the other is... should I cut the top of the dipstick off and try to stick a rod down there to get the oil level, or should I use the system I use now, and that's to wait till I hear the noticeable pinging?
No, I don't like that system.
I don't like that either.
It's effective.
Well, he may have welded the dipstick to the tube. He didn't want you to worry, you know, if you can't pull that dipstick out. No, I think what happened is somehow or another the dipstick tube got crimped. Can you move the dipstick at all?
You can't turn it, can't do anything.
Cool.
Really?
Well, you need the dipstick tube bolts, I believe, to the block. And you can unbolt that thing and pull the tube and the stick out together. And you're going to buy a new one, a new setup, from the Dodge dealer. Now, it may be when you get them out, you'll be able to separate them. You may figure out what he did wrong.
And what should I do with him, I guess, is the other question. He looked me in the eye, coldly, I might say, and let me leave town knowing that I had a crushed dipstick.
Well, he must have known because he must have filled that thing up with oil.
He had to.
And he
went
to pull that stick out, and he said, oh, jeez.
It was late Friday afternoon. He knew I was headed on a 1,000-mile trip, and he probably didn't want to say, geez, you know, would it tear apart all night long or something. But I thought about just saying, later on, just to confuse him, saying something like, boy, that brand-new dipstick, why did you buy that?
You know. Yeah, I think you need to figure out first what he did.
Yeah, I mean, he may have put the wrong dipstick in there.
Yeah, well, he could have. You know what could have happened? He lost your dipstick.
Yeah.
And he said, oh, geez.
I got one.
He said, Jim's never going to take the car if he doesn't have a dipstick. And he started putting one in, and it got harder and harder to put in.
And he just kept pushing.
Any hammer marks on it?
Yeah,
so chances are that he put a wrong one in there, or he somehow crimped the tube. But in any event, you're going to have to yank everything out.
Yeah, but whatever you do, do not just cut the top off.
No.
Because it's very possible that the rest of the dipstick will fall into the engine.
Oh, it could get worse and worse.
And we don't want the end of your dipstick to fall off.
Well, sounds terrible.
It does sound terrible. Yeah. Good luck, Jim.
Hey, thanks a lot, guys.
See you later. Bye-bye. 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Delora from Sun Valley, Idaho.
Delora?
Delora.
How do you spell that?
D-O-L-O-R-A.
Delora. Okay.
Delora.
And where are you from, Sun Valley?
From Sun Valley, Idaho.
Oh, that sounds like a wonderful
place. You know what Delora means in Italian?
I can tell you what it means in Spanish.
Yeah, does it mean a royal pain?
That's Delora. And I think they took the ES off because I'm not a pain.
Well, in Italian, it's with an E at the end.
It's with an E,
which means pain.
So,
Delora.
Anyway,
okay.
Delora, what can we do for you?
Well, I have a 1994 Ford Explorer.
Uh-huh.
And I've really enjoyed this car, but the cruise control went funky. It will not... You can't turn it on. And in Idaho, you have some very long distances, and you do like to cruise. So I took it down to my mechanic. And he said that the servo was bad.
Okay.
And that they can no longer get servos for a 94 Explorer, and so they can't fix it.
Oh, maybe 94.
That's 100 years ago.
That may be the case. Yeah, so you have to buy a used one.
And so where would I get...
Junkyard.
Go to a... And, I mean, that really is my only option?
Well, it may be that the vehicle is that old that they no longer make the servo, and I believe that. So, that might be your only option.
Okay, because they tell me it's the best shape Explorer. It's only got 130,000 miles on it.
Oh, yeah, and if you had a new servo, you'd be back in business.
And
there's a very good chance that the one you get could last the life of the car.
Okay, well, I've got another question.
Okay,
sure.
Whenever you push down on the accelerator, they went out. I had them do a tune-up. But it still made this, you know, it just doesn't sound happy when you push down on the accelerator. When it was going up a hill, it sounds like you've got bad gas or something, and I know I didn't have bad gas.
Yeah.
And they said, well, they needed to probably do a carbon flush on it, and I just never heard of a carbon flush. And is that a real?
Well, what they may have done is they may have run a solvent through your fuel injectors.
Well, I haven't had it done.
Oh, you haven't had it done.
I wanted to talk to you guys before I had it done.
Well, tell us again, when you're going up the hill, what is the car doing?
It's going... Sometimes, I mean, not bad, but it accelerates slowly.
Oh, so it's struggling going up hills, but it isn't misfiring. It isn't...
No, it is not misfiring.
And it's just noisy.
Yes.
Well, it's got 130,000 miles on it. You'd be noisy going up a hill, too.
Yeah, he might be right.
Well, the other thing for him to look at is an exhaust leak. You know, there may be a small exhaust leak, and these are prone to exhaust leaks at the exhaust manifolds, which are right under the hood. And under normal conditions, when you're accelerating gently or driving in stop-and-go traffic, an exhaust leak is not that noticeable. But when you're really flooring the thing and trying to climb a hill, you're asking the engine to put out its maximum amount of power. The explosions in the cylinders are their biggest. And that's when you're going to hear something like that. And it'll make it sound awful. It'll make it sound like it should be going faster for the amount of noise that it's making.
Exactly.
But remember this, with 130,000 miles on the vehicle, it's kind of lost some oomph, too. So it is going to struggle with hills. It's probably got lower compression than it had 5 years ago.
Yeah.
So this is an automatic transmission.
Yes, it is an automatic.
Yeah, it may be slipping, too. My brother's got an automatic transmission, and he's been slipping for years. So, I mean, but have them check for an exhaust leak and obviously make sure it's tuned up. But if he thinks that the cleaning, we have a snap-on machine we use called a motor vac.
Okay.
And you hook this up to the injector rail.
And it works sometimes.
When the injectors are the issue, it's amazing how well it works.
Okay.
Yeah,
that's
so
awesome.
And what's he want for that, a couple of $100?
Oh, yeah, it was 100 and a quarter.
Oh,
it wasn't that much, you know? It was easy.
It's a deal.
We're overcharging the hell out of people.
see you, Delora.
Okay, thanks, guys.
Bye-bye. 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, guys. I'm Dave from Appalachian, Ohio.
Hey, Dave. What's Appalachian, huh?
Yep.
What's going on?
Well, the problem isn't my car. It's my wife, and no last name. She doesn't know I'm calling.
Oh,
she will.
It usually is the wife, no matter what the problem is.
I know. Here it is. She drives pretty fast on the gravel roads and blind curves that we have out here and everything, but the problem is she's a waver, and people wave back, including the oncoming drivers. And she says it's being neighborly. And I say it's two drivers surprising each other on a blind curve for one split second at 60 miles an hour. It's not the time to take hands off the wheel or eyes off the road.
Right. So she's waving. She's just a congenial kind of person.
She's a good-looking blonde, too. That's no help.
Yeah, that is a problem. Because is it guys that are waving at her coming the other way?
She starts it. She waves at everybody. Little kids, Amish buggies, you name it, she waves.
Jeez,
how
are you going to stop this? And, of course, it bothers you because you're in the car with her.
Yeah, very scared, yeah.
Yeah, why don't you just drive?
Well.
Then she can do all the way. In fact, you can strap her to the hood. She can wave at everybody.
Yeah, I've suggested things like that.
Yeah, put her in the 4th of July parade. Let her get her out of her system.
The truth is, she makes us late, and then even though I offered to drive, she's got to drive fast to make up the lost time. Oh, I'm in the doghouse now, man.
Oh, man. Yeah, I mean, I think it's important, Dave, that we know your wife's name, because if I don't think we're going to be able to. Yeah, she's going to know about this. Does she listen to Car Talk? Dave, you still there?
Yeah. Sometimes.
Sometimes, huh?
Sometimes.
Oh
man, are you in trouble?
Boy. Yeah, Appalachian, Ohio doesn't sound like a very big place.
And she's always done this?
Well, no, it's because we moved here from the city. And like, you know, in the olden days, the people waved to the buggies and the farmers waved back and stuff. And now she thinks she has to do it in order to fit in.
Oh, so everyone else does it there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you could convince her to slow down a wee bit. But I understand then that you're not going to stop her from waving. You got to try to get her to slow down. Even 5 miles an hour would do it.
It would help because the closing rate, the other guys are going 40, so she.
Yeah.
Well, nothing's happened. So how long has she been doing this?
Well, 5 years.
And nothing's happened yet?
We're still alive.
Well, you may be making more of it than there is. I think she may be all right.
I could put on one of those sleep masks or something and not look.
I think you need to do that. I think you need to put on blinders. Yeah, either that or wear a bag over your head.
I mean, has she had any close calls?
All the time.
And how does she react to the close calls? She probably laughs, huh?
Right. You were there.
She laughs. She's having the time of her life.
Oh, boy.
And you are being taken for the ride, but you're not enjoying it.
I got to bring along a spare pair of pants.
Yeah, well, you know what? I think you may be blowing this out of proportion. Don't forget, we only have your side of the story. But I know she's going to call next week.
Oh, God.
But so far, we have your side of the story, and I think that you are mistaking her exuberance, her friendliness, and her general good nature for driving recklessly and endangering everyone else, and especially you.
Especially me.
And on gravel roads, you know, it sounds worse. When the car is veering out of control on a gravel road, it sounds and feels a heck of a lot worse than it really is.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, yeah, you know what you might need? You might need, like, Valium.
Okay.
Yeah. You have a doctor up in Appalachian, Ohio there?
I'm going to need one soon.
See if you can get yourself a, just, you know, try it like a one-month supply. See if that'll calm you down. Yeah.
Oh, boy.
I think you may be overreacting. And the fact that she's been doing it for 5 years and the fact that everyone else does it.
Well, I'm not in the car with them to know. I just know they wave back, and that's...
No, they wave back, and they're driving at high speed, too, as far as you can tell. And you see the dust flying and the pieces of gravel all over the place. And,
right.
You know, and the car is swerving. And when she's doing this, is she going, whoopee? No, huh?
Good luck, Dave.
Okay, thanks, guys. I'll
let us know.
Try to relax. You know what? Switch the decaf first. That may help.
That may help.
Okay. All right, Dave.
See
you later, man.
Great advice.
Bye-bye. Great advice. Well, it's happened again. There goes another listener. You squandered another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are David the Cavs of Belleville Green, Carly High Voltage Nix, and Catherine Frau Bluch of Fenelosa. Our web blackie is Doug the Old Gray Mayor, assisted by Connie Britchred. Our engineer is John Cartman-Parati. Our interns are Ariel Niedermeyer and Kira McKnight. And our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from the Sunset Strip, Mocha Chip, Honey Dip, French Drip, Steak Tip, Prune Whip, Burger Flip, Letter Rip, Schmooze and Sip, is John Bugsy Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Margin of Error. Our customer care representative is Haywood Jabuzoff. Our personal makeup artist is Bud Tugley. Our director of guaranteed repeat business is Lucinda Bolts. Our investment management company is Poor Lee Endowed. Our beatnik philosopher is Harry Reasoner. Our head of public relations is Deb Backel. Our PowerPoint producer is Boris Tadef. Our Russian chauffeur is Peekoff and Dropoff. Our optometric firm is CFI Care. Guest accommodations are provided by the Horseshoe Road Inn. And the head of our working mother support group is Erasmus B. Dragon. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is U. Lewis Dewey, known to the caroling panhandlers in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and above all, don't drive like Tommy.
Don't drive like Ramey.
We'll be back next week. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 1151, download classic Car Talk episodes, or check out our clothing and CD collections all over at cartalk.com.
Also this week at cartalk.com, check out our listener photo album.
Yeah, listeners from all over the globe have outed themselves by sending us pictures of themselves listening to Car Talk, often accompanied by their cars.
And there are some real beauties in there.
The listeners or the cars?
The cars!
All figures. You can browse through the Car Talk listener album and add your own photo if you like over at cartalk.com. Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though NPR employees suddenly rush around and remove all traces of mistletoe whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.